Blog Talk Radio.
You sure don't want anything to do?
Oh yeah, he's hobbled. How you doing, Zito?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's getting better very slowly, but better.
Good. Good. Just keep that thing ice and elevated.
Absolutely.
Ty, do we have an update on Mr. Mel?
Last I talked to him, he's doing really, actually pretty good, pretty damn good. So,
yeah.
You know, we're just thankful for good days, and he's been having quite a bit of them recently, so we're happy for
him. Yeah, I had a short conversation with him about 2 weeks ago, and his voice was stronger than I've heard in years. So
yeah.
I was really happy to hear that. Well, what do you think tonight's fight? We got Deontay Wilder claims he's going to make Mr. Stavern pay for everything and may even take him out.
Well, I think that, you know what, we saw the fight, the last fight, and
mm-hmm.
it was basically Wilder backing up slowly, Stavern taking very, very slow, deliberate steps toward him and not unleashing anything. And Wilder, you know, his jab looked good on the steel target in that fight. One thing is Stavern kept himself out of danger with Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, by kind of being shelled up and not really rushing in, he didn't put himself in harm's way that much. And that's kind of Stavern's character. His character is not to really rush you. His character is for you to come to him, and, you know, he kind of get what he wants to in between what you're doing, make you pay for your mistakes for the most part. He's not a guy who will, you know, he wants the fight to be high-paced in action, but not exactly for him to have to seek it with his feet. With that being said, he's going to have to come out of character tonight because Wilder's not going to change who he is. It would be a detriment to his benefit for him to all of a sudden want Stavern in his chest, want Stavern
mm-hmm.
any, you know, closer than his arm range. I mean, Deontay has a substantial range on Stavern, so I mean he's going to use it and he's going to try to bomb him out of there, but. I kind of see the fight going the way it did last time.
Mm-hmm. Ty?
Well, Zito is absolutely right. Stavern, at his best, was a quick-fisted counterpuncher, you know, kind of fought and burst. Deontay Wilder has a tremendous amount of height and range on him. Thus, it kind of, you know, nullified what Stavern does best, which is, you know, kind of explode into the counterpunches. He wasn't able to do that against Deontay Wilder. For him to be able to attack Deontay Wilder, he'd have to bring forward pressure, which is something he really doesn't do too much of. So, again, like Zito was saying, he'd have to come out of character. The issue with that is Stavern is 2 years older since he last fought Deontay Wilder. The other issue with that is since he last fought Deontay Wilder, he's only fought once. And that was a very tough decision in which he was dropped against journeyman Derek Rossi. So that doesn't say too much. The other thing, too, is since he's last fought Wilder, he's coming in now at about 15 to 16 pounds heavier than when he fought Wilder. So I think some of the variables outside of the fight, some of the variables that go into this matchup beyond the ropes, I think really part of the determination on what this fight can be. It's hard to pick Stavern based on the variables I just said, not to mention the fact that he lost the fight against Deontay Wilder the first time extremely convincingly. So.
Hey, the other question that seems to keep popping up is that if he wins tonight, if he's victorious over Stavern, who will he face next? He's got two choices, Dillon White or Anthony Joshua. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, promotionally, go ahead, Ty.
No, go ahead, please.
Sense-wise, Joshua would make the most sense as far as big fight. I don't know how that would exactly line up promotionally, but there's been talk, and there's also been talk, oh my goodness, Tyson Fury showed up for some strange reason. His shape was kind of crazy, but he showed up and trying to throw his name in the mix. But so there's... There's been talk amongst the heavyweights, you know, as far as trying to liven things up, I guess. With that said, I think right now Dylan White would be a good matchup for Wilder. The money matchup will be Anthony Joshua. I don't think Joshua is quite ready for Wilder yet, but I mean, you never know when they get in the ring.
Well, it's really not a choice because those are two fights that are just being bandied about, but it's not like there are two contracts sitting right before Wilder, and once he's done, he could put pen to paper to either one. So it's really would be inaccurate to say he has a choice to fight one or the other. Hearn has been trying to make a Dylan White Deontay Wilder fight, obviously, because it'd be a big fight. It'd be a big chance for a guy that fights under him, Dylan White, to get a WBC strap. But the reality of that fight is that though White is somewhat of a top, you know, 5-6 contender, and he's a mandatory for Deontay Wilder, the public's not clamoring for that fight. The public is clamoring for an Anthony Joshua Deontay Wilder fight. But Hearn has explicitly stated that that's not the fight he's looking to target next. He would go to the Joseph Parker unification before the Deontay Wilder. He actually said Joseph Parker than Deontay Wilder. Joseph Parker's management team said he's not looking to fight Deontay Wilder now. They don't feel that Anthony Joshua was ready for that. So he's probably going to target us, and we're very happy with that. So as far as who Wilder fights if he wins, it could be Dylan White because Dylan White will be in a position, I believe, to possibly enforce a mandatory. But isn't that what tonight's about? Tonight he's getting the mandatory out the way. He was supposed to fight Luis Ortiz. Obviously, when Luis Ortiz had his whole, you know, steroid bust, it just allowed him to get this mandatory out the way. So who he fights next, it could be pretty interesting. It could be a Dylan White. But again, Eddie Hearn is talking about, well, you know, if he comes over to England and fights Dylan White, it'd make a Joshua fight big. Deontay Wilder, you know, he'll travel, but he's not going to travel to England to fight Dylan White. What Deontay Wilder said is, I will fight Dylan White if you guarantee me a Joshua fight right after. And so far, Eddie Hearn has not necessarily responded to that particular thing. So I think before we can necessarily talk about what his decisions are, his team's going to have to do a lot of talking and seeing what the decisions are possibly could be. I don't believe Anthony Joshua at this point is a decision that he's going to get because his team, Joshua's team, doesn't feel that Joshua is ready for that fight just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the fight can marinate and be big. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the WBA did step in. When you talk about it, Luis Ortiz, they did step in and strip him of his status to fight Anthony Joshua after he failed his test.
Yeah, so he was going to be the mandatory for Joshua. The WBA had pulled that, suspended him for a year. Didn't read the article today, Butch, but came across a headline that just said that essentially that Ortiz may get a break somehow. So I don't know how that will play out, but as of right now, he's no longer the mandatory, like you said, Butch, and he's suspended for a year.
Right, right. That's very big.
Yeah.
What do you think they got? There's another fight on tonight. It's a welterweight, Sammy Valentine. What the hell? We've been having a problem with the computer here.
That happens.
Sammy Valentine was going to be going against Alejandro Barbosa. Actually, it pits Mexico versus Puerto Rico. What's your thoughts on those?
I'm not familiar with either guy, to be honest with you. Maybe Alejandro Barrios I'm familiar with, but he would be a little long in the tooth. So, it's a pride fight, but not a marquee fight. The biggest fight in the welterweight division tonight would be the Sean Porter-Adrian Granados fight that's coming that is supporting that Deontay Wilder fight. I'm not familiar with who Barrios is fighting or much about that card, to be honest with you, Butch.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Z?
I'm not familiar really with either fighter either, but Puerto Rico and Mexico, they always are going to provide an interesting matchup stylistically. Character wise, when they fight, you know, when those two countrymen match up, it's always interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But on that Puerto Granados fight, that's going to be the most action-packed fight of the night. I could probably say that more confident before anything begins. Not saying there's going to be any knockouts or anything, which I don't really expect a knockout. But, I mean, it's going to be a very, very action-packed and grueling fight. Both guys, they come to bring it. They're not really backward-moving men. And they don't mind letting their hands go. So.
Well, Porter said if he boxes, he wins the easier fight. So I don't like that. I think Porter boxes better when he doesn't box.
we see Porter try to box, and when it doesn't work, Porter goes back to what he does best. That's football boxing.
One thing I always respected about Porter is his character and his IQ, and it makes sense. What he's saying makes sense because Adrian Granada's essentially one chance to win is the way he fights. And Porter's style, even though I think Porter would beat him, his style plays into that. So I understand what his mind is thinking. Whether we all agree is something different, but I understand what his mind says there. It makes sense.
And the body cardio, the way he fights, I mean, if he changes it up, it'll change his breathing up. And if he's used to fighting at that high pace like that, even if he slows the pace down, it can mess with his, you know, his cardio a bit. He could just be doing something different, at that level. So, I think he, as you said, he can beat Granados at that game. He said it would be easier to box, but I've seen in the past, Sean Porter is not a guy who's going to stick with that game plan. What even successful, you're going to see when his feet slow down, he's going forward. He's going forward. As simple as that.
Good. The other question is that I had I'd seen this week is they're talking about Freddie Roach now trying to expand into MMA to get the fighters coming from MMA to WBA, and he seems to be trying to. In fact, he wasn't going to be in the corner tonight for one of his fighters because he was going to be with another. Let me see, who is it? Capitalizing on
George St. Pierre, MMA fighter.
Yeah,
he's going to be at George St. Pierre's corner tonight for a big fight.
Yeah.
Well, thing is Freddie Roach is a boxing trainer. And little known fact that a lot of, just boxing guys might not know is he trains a lot of mixed martial artists. A lot of boxing trainers do. If you're a fan of mixed martial arts, like Zito and I are, you've seen different boxing trainers in the corners or working with MMA artists. Howard Davis is one of the best boxing trainers known that works with MMA artists all the time. Howard Davis is a mixed martial arts boxing trainer. So former gold medalist. So that's nothing new. And as far as who he's cornering tonight, George St. Pierre, who is at one time one of the UFC's biggest stars and biggest draws, George St. Pierre has been training with Freddie Roach for years. So he's a fighter that Freddie has never cornered, but he's always gotten his boxing from Wild Card Gym. It's nothing new, except George St. Pierre hasn't fought in 4 years, so he's asked Freddie to corner him. So it's not a matter of Freddie's allegiance being to MMA or boxing as it is to just his pupils. And George St. Pierre, happens to be a mixed martial artist, is his pupil. Typically, those guys don't ask Freddie Roach to corner him because they have fight camps and teams and coaches that corner him. But this was an exception where Freddie was asked to corner. So as far as Freddie being involved in MMA, for probably the last, I would say, 10 years or so, mixed martial artists going to renowned boxing gyms is pretty common.
Yeah, mixed martial arts is exactly that, mixed martial arts. You're going to have boxing coaches. You're going to have judo coaches, for those styles. You're going to have definitely going to have jiu-jitsu coaches, grappling, any sort of grappling coaches. You're going to have a mix of coaches. So you're going to have, I'm pretty sure that you're going to have the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy coaching somebody. In big fights. That's just how it goes. That's how it's supposed to go in a mixed martial arts. Boxing is a martial art. People kind of don't see that sometimes. People think boxing's, a little, I don't know. A lot of people want it to be arcane to me. They want it to be just a slugfest and the sweet science goes out.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Chris, we're having a problem with the board. Can you give us a call at 347-202?
Zito, please continue. I was listening to your point, sir.
No, it's
just
that.
Dr. Chris on.
Yeah, it's just that when it comes to the sweet science, that, you know, boxing, you know, people want it to be slugfest, arcane. There's no martial art that's like that. I mean, there's no martial art that, you know, you have to perfect your craft.
You know, Zito, I think part of the issue, too, is because boxing has been ingrained in the American culture for so long as a sport that people forget boxing is a martial art. Boxing is a martial art. It goes back to the ancient Greeks. It has been used on the battlefield. Boxing is a martial art. And so a smart mixed martial artist, typically there are three phases they have to train in. The submission grappling, be it jiu-jitsu, catch wrestling, itself, and some form of striking. And boxing, as we all know, for hands and for footwork is far and away the superior martial art, which is why a lot of these, as Dr. Chris likes to call them, guys who fight in the quad, what does he call it, quadricon or something, they tend to train in boxing or Muay Thai, because Muay Thai has proved to be a devastating striking art as well. But they have to have some kind of training in this background. So you get guys who come from a Taekwondo karate background, they realize to compete, they got to learn a little bit of boxing. So all these guys are training boxing. And they have the money to go to the Freddie Roaches.
All fights outside of Greco-Roman wrestling, all fights start standing up. I mean, MMA fights start off. As far as striking, positioning, to get even legs, knees, and elbows off, boxing footwork is probably the best. Just as far as getting your angles off, and
that's what I just said too. Boxing's hands and footwork is the best. Is
footwork.
The most superior martial art.
Exactly. As far and I mean, sometimes now, a lot of times, you know, when you get boxing against a martial arts guy or against especially a wrestling guy, you'll throw yourself out of position and the guy could grab you. But outside of that, I mean, you have to incorporate everything into mixed martial arts. It'd be wise of Freddie Roach to go ahead and get that money too. That's a market, you know, an untapped market so far. But also, I mean, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? I never hated on a guy getting his money from
Here's what I know, Zito. If guys would come to our gym and get boxing from us to fight in a mixed martial art fight, of course they would go to Freddie Roach if they could afford it. So
Exactly. And have him on a part team. Yeah, Freddie Roach is there. You're gonna draw some boxing fans.
And so what happens is Freddie Roach, obviously because of his client list, because of his involvement in boxing, he doesn't have the time to corner a lot of mixed martial artists. George St. Pierre is a superstar mixed martial artist who hasn't fought in 4 years. Him coming back is a huge event. It's a lot more money than Freddie Roach would typically get for cornering a mixed martial arts fighter. And more importantly, he asks Freddie to do it. Again, usually these guys don't ask a boxing coach who's not part of their team. Is just a consultant. So they don't usually have consultants come coach for them. But they will have, but this is a bond that George St. Pierre has had with Freddie. Again, he's been training with Freddie for several years. So.
Well, you know, the other thing is that, I don't know if you saw this this week, Ty, but McGregor now says that if there was a second bout that he would definitely beat Mayweather. And I guess he must be taking more boxing lessons or something like that.
I think he's taking more banking lessons, and that's what it is. He recognizes that if he were to fight Floyd Mayweather, win or lose, he makes three times than what he would make fighting somebody in the UFC or fighting anyone else. It's really that simple. I don't even think it's a matter at this point of the competition